Taking notes, first point I like to say is God is enough. We may not have an altar to a false god or visit shrines and worship to a false god, but we can surely place God things over God's place. Ever notice that the two commandments sound the same, the first two commandments? Honestly, they do. We just need to hear it more than once. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of their parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of people, of those who love me and keep my commandments. Saw an interview with Oprah where she said she had an issue with a jealous God. God is jealous and share us with anyone else or anything else. Even Brad Pitt walked away from his childhood faith because he was told God requires him to be considered faithful. He thought that that was just a big ego trip. We're talking about the supreme creator of the universe. Who is good enough to be over him? What is good enough to be over him? The only holy one who is holier than him. He requires our top-notch faith in our hearts, over our spouses, children, families, friends, bosses, jobs, money, customers, staff in our lives. Nothing should be in that place or will be in that place. We are prone to follow the Hebrew, the example of the Hebrews. We can be very obedient in one spot and very disobedient in another. We can be very hard on the Hebrew when we read them worship of the Baal altars, sacrifice children, worship Asher poles, and think, how dumb could these people be? They were handed miracle after miracle. They still reached out to what the world around them was doing. They did that because they thought God was not enough. We find all kinds of things and people to put in God's place in our lives. Family is a great thing, but what happens when we put them over God? Sometimes it is said, I love God, but I'm going to do this thing. At our jobs, we say, I love God, but I don't want to make waves, so I'm going to do this. Forgetting that God knows our situation and that He is in control and He protects us. We forget why God is supposed to be first. When we follow God's example and commands, the other things fall into place. God is the only one. He is enough. You go pull up John 1:12. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. I have recently become fascinated with the names of God. There is a generic God that the world uses. It's the my God, your God, everybody's God. Call it God, not Jesus. When we say Jesus, we're excluding a lot of things. Actually, everything. When we say God in public, some take it differently. Rick Warren was asked to pray at an Obama commencement prayer, and he gladly said yes. When he got there, they asked him to pray to a generic God. No mention of Jesus. He refused and told them that he would be praying to Jesus, and if they were bothered by that, they had chosen the wrong guy. I like that attitude. We live in a world where anything or everything can be your God. If it is made of wood, metal, gold, silver, or flesh, it's false. Usually bad ideas about God start with, I'm a Christian, but the names of God in the Bible point out to a trait of God. Lord in all caps, we're all pretty familiar with that. That's pretty easy to tell when you're reading scripture who they're talking about. Yahweh, Hebrews rarely spoke because it was a name so holy to them. God was compared to the breath in their lungs. The only one that matters. Lord of hosts, or God of armies. He has armies at His call. Elohim, all-powerful one. Abba, Father. Adonai, the advocate. When we are in the final judgment, He is our lawyer. All in all, El Shaddai, meaning all-sufficient one. Nothing is too hard for Him. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.
author of eternal salvation for everyone, author of life for everything, author of our faith, author of peace. He can bring peace in every situation. The avenger, let him avenge for you. Blessed and holy ruler, bread of life, breath of life, bright morning star, chief shepherd, comforter, reach out to him when you need to be comforted. Desired of all nations want him. The dwelling place, eternal God, eternal spirit, everlasting father. My earthly father has passed, but he remains. Exalted, excellent, faithful, and true. Fortress, when we need to hide or need security, he is there. Whenever we need to hide. Friend of tax collectors and sinners, we are thankful he is our friend, no matter our sin. Gentle whisper, God Almighty, God of the whole earth, God over all, God who sees me and he sees you, God with us, good shepherd, goodness, great high priest, great shepherd, guide, head of the body, head of the church, helper. Any of you see God as helper? Good pray. Hiding place. We need that place to hide. Holy Ghost, Holy One, Holy Spirit, I am. Emmanuel, intercessor. Jealous, not jealousy. Jehovah, Jesus Christ of our Lord. Judge, keeper, king, king of king eternal, king of glory, king of the Jews, king of kings, king of nations, king of saints, king of ages, king of all, over all the earth, Lamb of God, lawgiver, leader, life, life-giving spirit, light of the world, lily of the valleys, lion of the tribe of Judah, living God, living water, Lord God Almighty, Lord is present, Lord is there, Lord Jesus Christ. These are just a few of the names of God. He is holy and the only one worth worshiping. When Jesus told the people he was God in the flesh, the Bible is very clear what happened. Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of spirit and life. Yet there are some who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe, which of them would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus said. Well, this is when Simon Peter actually really gets a nail on the head. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe that you are the Holy One of God." We are his. Many things in the world can control us. Drugs, alcohol, families, jobs, politics, money, just to get started. We make the wrong things in the priority of our life. Anything I've ever started with the wrong priority ends up usually failing. Anything I start with God's priorities usually ends up with success. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. This is a proper way to look at things. Pleasing God is the ultimate goal. Carving out a life in the temporary world is not our priority. We are aliens here. We don't belong. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. God knows what we need and will provide. We need jobs, yes. We need to provide for our families, yes. We need homes, food, but they are just things. One bad event and they're gone. We do not have to worship at an altar of another God to push God out of his place. He is jealous of us. He will not share us. Just as if we will not share our spouses or children. We are his. He will let us go our own way. We have free will. He will let us go our own way. He will not bless us that. But we can't prosper without him, but who would want to? We could have an empty victory over and over and over. He is always faithful. You quote 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Just chapters away in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, no temptation has taken over you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will provide a way out so that you can endure it. When He has made a promise or a covenant, He is not the one to break it. We are the ones that break covenant. Promises He has given us is eternal life. He promised us eternal life with Himself and His people in heaven. If you desire heaven but not God, you will be greatly disappointed in heaven. Forgiveness. He has given us forgiveness through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and through no other way. The Holy Spirit, He has promised us a guide and helper called the Holy Spirit. The voices of goodness you hear when you softly listen. The voice reminds us what to do, expose lies from truth, and gives us wisdom. Money, He has promised us to help us provide. Money is just a means. Being a Christian does not make you rich or poor. All the resources of the universe belong to Him. Our needs, He has promised us to help us with our needs. In some surpluses in our lives, we are to give to others. Bible promises for healing in James 5:13. Prayer of faith. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make this sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. So if we become a Christian and pray really hard, will all those things go away? Well, sometimes our conditions are across the bear, but not often, not always. Wisdom. God gives wisdom to those who ask. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be handed out like air. How many of you can use some more wisdom? All we have to do is ask. Children, family, and marriage, God has promised to help us with our families, providing and guiding us to raise our families to be part of the church. Peace. The Bible promises peace as we live according to His principle. It is in the Bible. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Overcoming temptation. James 4, 7 through 10. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. He promises protection. Psalms 91, 4 through 6. He shall cover you with His feathers and under His wings, and you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. How many hunters are in here? When you hunt for a turkey, you don't aim at that big fan that's on the backside, because you can shoot that with a 12 gauge and nothing will happen. That's how strong feathers are. We see them as almost weak, or pillow stuffing or something. Feathers are not weak. This promise of God is not weak. This is a strong protection. Promises to help us with our fear. Psalm 34, 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Promises of resurrection. John 14, 2 through 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it is not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. We're also promised the end of suffering, Revelations 21:4. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Some Christians don't believe the Bible. It's true. They'll say that it's fairy tales or whatever. The Bible is truth. God breathed and useful, not just tales. This thought of the Bible not being true is poison for the believer. They will never understand God's Word, and they'll never get to know God if they do not believe in the Bible as the one and only truth. Let me help you with that. If you were writing a story, and it was just a story, and you were talking about morals, and you were talking about this or that, would you leave David's life in your story? David was loved by God. David had a lot of problems. So this being proof that this is the Word of God, David's story would not be in the Bible if it were just a book of morals. Because God would have rejected it, but no, he loved it. We also have to read God's Word. We have to get into God's Word and study it. Spend time in prayer about it. It is the truth and the story not easy, always easy for us to hear or go by. It's usually hard for us to live while we pray through it. These are God's ways, and his ways are not always ours. Let God's Word change us. We have to stay humble, stay in prayer, stay in God's Word. Listen to what he has to say to us through history, poetry, prophecy, and other people's stories. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to understand your Word. Help us to understand who you are. Help us to rely on you more. Help us to see that you are the King of Kings. You are our fortress. You are all these things to us. And all we need to do is ask.